Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim Potts back on the air. Once again, and as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon or evening with me if you're on the East Coast. At any rate, look, today is what we want to do is talk about some things here. The first thing we're going to talk about is going to be the active shooter response, what to do in those kind of situations. I've been promising that for a couple of weeks, but we get information from other people. We get the emails, and so we kind of got a little bit back on that, but we're going to definitely get to that today like I promised you. We're also going to be talking about some law enforcement statistics in terms of law enforcement officers that are killed in the performance of their duty. This is more of a tragedy than people realize. I know some people have a negative attitude toward law enforcement, but having been previous law enforcement myself, for me, this really is a sensitive issue. And then we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment. People have asked me about the Second Amendment, so we're going to address that. And depending on the time, we may talk about a couple of other things. But as usual, I always like to get started with emails because I like to be sensitive to people sending things in to me. They get a little bit shy about calling in, so they send me emails, which is fine because sometimes it gives me an opportunity to do a little research for them also. Before I forget, if you want to call in, the number is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. Or you can email us at listenup@pottsandassociates.com. One of the things that somebody asked me, and some of this is obviously online, but somebody asked me exactly what is domestic terrorism. Well, you know what? If you go online, you look up under the United States, the USA Patriots Act, it really gives you a really good definition in terms of what domestic terrorism is. And it's basically those which involve acts that are dangerous to human life, that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States, or of any state, quite frankly. And it appears to be intended, so you have to have the intent to intimidate or coerce a civilian population. Another part of that is it's also to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. And it also has to primarily take place within the territorial district of the United States. So that gives you a rough idea. Again, if you go online and look up the USA Patriots Act, you'll get a little bit more of a definition of it. And I have to tell you, it kind of goes into a part of what one of the emails was, a person was concerned about. And this is from Jody, who apparently lives in Chicago. And Jody says, "Hi, Jim. This past weekend, it was disheartening to learn that over 70 people were killed in one weekend in Chicago. Apparently, a lot of these shootings were gang-related. Would you clarify these types of killings as a form of domestic terrorism?" Well, first, let me clarify the email. The email was sent last week, so that would mean that it wasn't this weekend that we're in when all these deaths occurred. It was last weekend, not the current weekend that we're in. Unfortunately, what has also transpired is that this particular weekend, a large number of people were killed in Chicago as well. Now, if you take the definition that I just gave you about domestic terrorism and you associate that with gangs, in my opinion, yeah, that is a form of domestic terrorism. It's sad that these things go on and that these gangs have a tendency to be in neighborhoods and destroying the neighborhoods and shooting and killing people. Now, I will tell you, I did a little bit more research on it other than just what was on the news because I think it's important. But let's just go back to this past Memorial Day up there in Chicago, where apparently 32 people were wounded and 7 were killed. Now, they're looking at this, you know, with the local law enforcement is talking about the fact that the hot weather creates some of this. I mean, I really don't know what the hot weather has to do with it, but they feel that for some reason this is what happened. So I went back a little bit further, and I looked at the Memorial Day weekend from the year before. Guess what? 6 dead, 44 wounded. I mean, this is really ridiculous. And the city is attempting, at least the law enforcement in Chicago is trying to do something. They're putting out 1,300 extra officers over the weekends to help with this situation. And by the way, let's just be clear. This isn't all over Chicago. This is in limited areas, quite frankly, and some of the, you know, I hate to use the terminology, but and some of the more depressed areas, so to speak, are where these things are going on. And, you know, law enforcement, once again, can't do it all. They're trying to do the best that they can. But the reality is that most of the shootings do happen in the poor neighborhoods on the west and south sides where gangs are entrenched. And that's what it is. It's hard to explain why people want to shoot up the people in their own neighborhoods. I'm not suggesting that they go outside and shoot other people, but it's a shame. Now, the Chicago Tribune said, you know, basically that they were tracking some of the shooting statistics as well. And they're letting people know that so far this year, there's 533 fewer shootings as of August 1st of this year than at the same time in 2017. Well, that is good, but we still have to work a lot harder with this. Now, the law enforcement officials out there are saying that they're going to stick to a certain strategy, and that strategy, in their opinion, has to do, here we go, with illegal guns. And prior to this weekend surge, they credit it with, you know, decline in the homicides and shootings because they are really cracking down on the illegal guns. Now, they also stated that more than 5,500 illegal guns have been confiscated on the street this year alone, and that they're planning a coordinated enforcement that will target gangs and individuals they believe that are driving the violence and, you know, and try to take care of these individuals to prevent them from doing, you know, what they're doing. Now, that also goes back to what President Trump was saying regarding this these gangs in New York, the MS-13, which I'm actually going to speak a little bit about this week. But next week, I'm going to be doing a lot on MS-13 as well. And we're going to be talking about home invasions because somebody actually sent me an email and they asked me, Jim, do you consider home invasions to be domestic terrorism? The person didn't sign it. But yes, I do. Again, instilling fear in people. Would definitely come under that as a definition. Now, they in Chicago, they had another issue like this with all of these shootings a while back, and it was in the Cabrini Green housing project. Now, when those killings were going on back then, believe it or not, it wasn't the law enforcement that got rid of the situation. It was actually mothers, preachers, and people in the neighborhood who actually stopped the wars at Cabrini Green. So it's you have to understand, with any of this, the police cannot do everything. Ron Emanuel, who's the mayor, I heard on the news the other day, people are feeling that he's not doing enough. So I don't know. His election bid might be in jeopardy the next time he runs for office. I don't know if any one person's responsible. It sounds like they at least are trying to do some things. But again, when people are killed and this kind of violence goes on, whoever's at the top, they're the ones who are going to have to ultimately pay the price. So at any rate, Jody, I hope that answers your question. I tried to be a little bit more in detail for those listeners who may not be aware of the true situation in Chicago. And again, I'll emphasize, it is not all of Chicago. It's apparently in the poorer neighborhoods. And I don't think that's 100% surprising. Because we know that these things do go on. Okay, moving on to the next email. I got an email. Mr. Potts, I assume that you heard about the place in New Mexico where they were training children to be school shooters. My God, what is the world coming to? How can we possibly protect all of our children at every school in the country? This is crazy. Signed, Emily. Well, I, you know what, Em? I agree with that. I think it's very difficult to be able to protect all of our children throughout the country. We've done some other prior episodes on school security and things of that nature. As I've told my listeners before, my company, we have a tendency to go out now with the schools, and we are helping some of the schools with this school security measures. We're doing the active shooter training. And, you know, if everybody pitches in and does what they can, it's certainly going to help. I think that the parents need to pay attention, et cetera. But anyway, getting back to the situation in Mexico, absolutely. It was actually in Taos, New Mexico. And apparently one of these individuals that was arrested was the father of a missing boy from Georgia, and he was training children at his compound to commit these school shootings. And the prosecutor said in court documents that this is definitely what his intentions were. Now, the documents say that he was conducting his weapon trainings with assault rifles at the compound near the Colorado border. And apparently, law enforcement found 11 hungry children were found in these filthy conditions. Now, I'll tell you, one of the things was the neighbors. At first, when these individuals moved in there, they said that these individuals were there and they were friendly. The kids were out and everything was friendly. But over time, some of the things changed. Now, for months, the neighbors began to worry about the compound because it was so remote out there, saying that they brought the concerns to authorities months before the compound was raided. You know, this is another issue. Law enforcement can't be every place at once. Once again, they get these tips, etc. And I know that when they finally went in there, they went in there because of the fact that the children had put a message out somewhere. I forget exactly where it was, that they were starving. The conditions were horrible, etc. And based upon that, then they felt compelled to go in. So, you know, it takes time for some of these things. What people don't understand also is that, unfortunately, law enforcement just can't go into places. One tip is one thing. You know, now you have a child calling up. That's a little bit different. People do have a tendency to call up, situations, and they're giving information out sometimes. It's not accurate. We get that with some of the clients that we have, where spouses of the company or exes will call up, you know, one of our clients and, you know, give wrong information because they want the person fired. So there's a lot of reasons sometimes why people call that are not for the proper reasons. Not to mention the fact that law enforcement gets a lot of phone calls. It is very difficult for law enforcement to take on all of these situations all the time. But now when you have a child that's calling up or putting a message out there, that gives them a lot easier to be able to work with. And, you know, that was a good thing. Now, these individuals are going to be prosecuted. I think there was two men and three women. And I think two of the women or so had some of their children that were there as well. But just the notion that you are going to take these little children and turn them into school shooters. I don't know. They hadn't committed the crime yet. So it would be interesting to see ultimately what they're going to be convicted of. Child endangerment, for one thing, because of the fact that they weren't being fed properly. So that's going to be a big issue. The issue of the fact that they were going to train these children or have been training these children, but the children haven't done anything. I don't know where that's going to go. Terrorism? Yeah. This is exactly what that would have been. These individuals were of Middle Eastern descent. This goes back to what we're talking about with some of this and protecting our borders, how certain individuals get here. I can tell you that my specialty was South America and Central America when I was with the intelligence team. And I will tell you that there's issues. So if we have a major issue, it is probably, and I'll say more than likely, don't hold me to it as a guarantee, that something's going to happen coming up between our southern borders. And some of my listeners have heard me say this before. I don't believe it's going to come by air. I don't believe it's going to come by sea. And it's not going to come through Canada. Logic dictates that where we have a landmass touching our border, that there's going to be issue. And again, I don't want to get the hate mail talking about I'm against, you know, people coming here. I'm not against people coming here who want to make a better living for themselves. So let me just make that clear. That's not what my concern is. My concern are the ones who want to come up here and do harm to us. These people were in New Mexico, you know, and they're down there training children to attack schools. What would be the benefit other than the fact that, yeah, these children could assimilate into the school system very easily? It's not like an adult can. But see, that's one thing you have to understand about terrorists. Terrorists will strike to the heart. They will strike to the heart of what hurts us the most. And what will hurt us the most? When you harm our children. But we're Americans, and I'm going to tell you, we have a resolve. If you hurt our children, we are going to react to that. It is just that simple. So we'll just wait and see what happens to them. They're going to be prosecuted, and hopefully at some point they'll be deported, and we won't have people that will be opposing that situation at all. Okay. Again, if anybody's interested in calling in and commenting, the number is 818 818- 602-492-4929. Let's talk about the active shooter situational responses that I've been promising you over the last couple of weeks here. And when we discuss that, I want you to understand that in any given situation, it could be different, all right? Which simply means that even though I give you some suggestions for safety, I think that's what's smart is the fact that you have to plan for contingencies. I'm going to give you some tips based on some of the commonly accepted standards that have been put out there over the last, I don't know, probably 10 years or so with some of this. And hopefully some of this will sink in and possibly save your life or stop you from being injured. Now, again, I'm going to emphasize there's no guarantees on these, and these are suggestions and recommendations. Yes, is that a disclaimer? Well, you know my background, so I'm going to give you a disclaimer on that. All right, so let's talk about some active shooter situations. Now, look, if you're at work and you are at a location that's distant from the active shooter, so you're distant from them, you could be on another floor, you could be in another office, another part of the building, whatever the case may be. These days when the alarms go out, people react to it. Some businesses have systems in place already. As you've heard me say before, this is one of the things we actually help businesses with. We go in and we do these site assessments and help them to be able to understand what their strengths and weaknesses are and where their secure rooms are. At any rate, look, if an active shooter situation happens and the alarm goes out, and hopefully a lot of the businesses these days are taking this seriously enough where they have some code name or, you know, the alarm that goes off, whatever the case may be, so that people know that there's an active shooter on premises. But the first thing that I try to get people to do is to remain calm. Now, I know how that sounds. And, you know, some of the training that I do with the active shooter training, I tell people panic reactions versus reflex reactions. If you think about these things beforehand, in the event that something happens, you've got that split second where you're actually going to stay calm for a second and remember what you've gone over in your mind over and over and over again. So that becomes a reflex reaction, and you're not going to be in a panic situation. So when I say remain calm, I know that's hard to do. Somebody's shooting up the place, but try for that split second to remain calm and remember your training or the tips that you may have been receiving either from me or even at work or however it is that they do it. Now, the next thing is you've got to obviously warn other employees or visitors or guests to immediately take shelter. I mean, that's a common sense thing, but sometimes, again, people are in a panic mode. They don't think about those things. But if you have guests on your premises, visitors on your premises, to me, you have an obligation for them also. So warn others as quickly as you can. Now, the third thing I want you to do is go to a room that can be locked or barricaded, And you should already know where those places are, all right, especially in the building that you're working in, all right, in your office. What are the rooms that lock? Restrooms sometimes lock. You also have, believe it or not, janitor's closets that can lock. Any room that can lock that doesn't have windows is always going to be a good place to go. Use common sense. Now, if for some reason your building or your office rather doesn't have locks on it, then barricade the door and hopefully the door, you know, opens inward, not outward, because if you barricade it and it opens outward, that's not going to help you to a certain extent. But at least if it's barricaded and that door swings open, there might be some things that you could do in terms of pushing that barricade out toward the person or whatever the case may be. The other thing is that you have to, once you're in there and you got yourself barricaded, you're in your office, turn off the lights. Because shooters, they know the response time for law enforcement is normally 12 to 15 minutes. And if that's the case, they don't walk around, the lights around, they're not searching every room that hard. They're moving very quickly, quite frankly. So turn off the lights, make yourself as less visible as possible. If that means getting under the desk, you know, hiding behind some file cabinets that are in your office, that's what you do. All right? Now look, If you have blinds in your office, obviously close the blinds. You don't want anybody to be able to peer inside. And again, you need to be practicing these things before. Make sure the blinds work. So if something happens, you already know how they're working and you're not fumbling with them at that time. Any windows that you have, if you're on the second floor, don't worry about it. If you're on the ground floor, obviously that's going to be a little bit different. Whatever you have to do to block the windows, do so. Now, if you're in a room, by the way, I forgot to say this. If you're in a room and your door doesn't lock, you can also buy these door stoppers now. And I talk a lot about that in my active shooter training classes. Buy these door stoppers. These door stoppers, if you put that door stopper at the base of the door, they can't open the door. There's a lot of different styles now that you can get that actually are very good. One is called a door jammer, and that one's a little bit more expensive. But if you go online at www.doorjammer.com, you could see that one. It's sold on Amazon also, but that one's very good, and I strongly recommend that. Matter of fact, in some of my active shooter training classes, people have told me that they're actually buying those for home safety as well. They work very good, and they're a little bit more than just the security with that one is a little bit more than just the regular rubber door stoppers that you put at the bottom. Okay, now look, the other thing is, if you've got your cell phone, radio, whatever it may be, please turn it off. Put it on mute, vibrate, or whatever it is. The reason for that is very simple. If somebody's passing by, you don't want them, you know, knowing that there's a phone call coming into you because you've texted somebody and said something's going on, and now they're calling you, and now the phone goes off. You don't want that kind of sound, so just put it on vibrate. And don't be in there blubbering. Oh, my God, they're going to shoot me, they're going to shoot me. They're going to hear you, all right? So if you have to do something, just text. But don't be yelling and screaming into the phone. If you do that, you could end up making yourself a victim, all right? So calm down as best as you can. Don't be screaming into the phone, all right? Now, again, I've already told you sort of taking cover and et cetera, so you should be doing that. Now, look, now, if you're with a group of people, so there's a group of you in some room, have one person call 911. If everybody starts taking out their phones and calling 911, it's going to be more difficult for the 911 operators. They're going to be receiving different calls, different information. When you're making the 911 call, calm down. Get a hold of yourself for a second. The more you're yelling and screaming into the phone, the more excitable you are, the 911 dispatcher is going to have a hard time understanding what you're saying. Slow down. Take a deep breath. I know that you're in a hurry. You want to get this information as quickly as possible. But in your excitement, the way that you might be doing it might be delaying the situation. So slow down. Give them a rough description. How many shooters, if you know? How many people are hurt, if you know? The description of the shooter. He's tall. He's short. He's white. He's black. He's thin. He's heavy. You know, whatever the case may be, basic information. Blue shirt, black pants, camos, whatever the case may be. And that's if you've seen a shooter. If you don't have that information, it's okay. Just tell them there's an active shooter. Give them the address. Tell them that you have 5 or 10 people with you, whatever the case may be, and the number of employees that overall that might be at the location. All right? Keep it as simple as possible, but as much, I hate to say as much as possible as well. All right? Now, let's talk about if you're outside an area and encountered an active shooter. Once again, now I'm talking about outside, so you're not in an enclosed area. If you're outside, once again, try to remain calm. Obviously, move away from the active shooter or the sound of the gunshots or the explosion. That makes sense. But trust me, when people are in a panic mode, they can get hurt by running, trampling each other, and things of that nature. If the shots are a distant shooting, obviously less reason for you to be in a panic mode. Now, if it's in an enclosed area, right outside, I shouldn't say an enclosed area, but okay, let's hold on a second. I'm getting a call here. Hi, you're live on the air with Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment to share?
Oh, yeah, Jim. This is Jim.
This is who?
Jenny.
How you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Jenny. Do you have a comment or a question to share with us?
Yeah, I'm listening to your active shooter coverage, and I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah, so I teach classes, and Jenny.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, during while I'm teaching a classroom, I was wondering, we have blinds in our classrooms. Should, while I'm teaching a classroom and there is no active shooter, should I keep the blinds open or shut?
You know what? It doesn't hurt to shut them during the class. Because let me just tell you something. The schools, as I've been saying, you never know when a student, may have an issue. If the blinds are closed, at least you don't have to then scramble around, try to put the blinds down. How many blinds are in the classroom?
They're right near, there's blinds all through the windows, but there's also blinds near the door. And I usually like to see, who's coming down the hallway, students and the guard and everything else. So I usually keep them open.
Okay,
but I notice that some teachers shut them automatically. I don't know if they don't want to, people looking in to watch them or what. But I usually like to see who's outside.
Yeah, well, you know what? Having taught myself for 13 years, I can understand about the teachers would shut them because they don't want the distraction, friends passing by, waving at people and things of that nature. But we have to separate out those kind of things now from security measures. Now, look, I will tell you that I do like what you just said. You said that I like to see who's coming down the hallway. So it sounds like the way that your classroom might be set up, you can see people coming towards you. So in that particular case, that's fine. And that's not a problem because that could be an added security measure for you. Now, but the other side of the coin, and more importantly, if there's an active shooter, you are already going to know that, hopefully, because you will have heard the gunfire, et cetera. So should you close them or not close them is what your question is. Well, I tell you something. I think that security is more important at this point because if you're in the classroom and they're closed, that means that provides a little bit more of a secure environment from the standpoint of anybody being able to look in there so that you're not scrambling around when the shooter starts, and now you got to start closing all of these blinds. And when people are in a panic mode, I think that may sound easy to do, but it's not because they're in a panic mode. So unless you've rehearsed it, hey, you're in charge of this section, you're in charge of that section, you're in charge of that section, then they probably should be closed, in my opinion. Although, once again, I did like what you said about them. I guess there's a hallway by you, and you can see anybody coming down. But whatever the measures, though. Oh, no, go ahead. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of times, I've been kind of trained to always kind of see who's coming. Even going to a restaurant or something, sitting down, not having my back to the door, but always see what's coming. So that's why I have a tendency to leave the blinds open because I'd like to see what's coming.
Well, as I stated, everybody has to choose what they feel they're most comfortable with. If you feel... We didn't really talk about what level you're teaching on. Are you talking about high school, grammar school? What level are you talking about?
College.
So you're on the college level. All right. A lot of the colleges these days don't they have lockdown procedures when there's an active shooter on campus as well?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So that's gonna help tremendously. But if you've been trained because you have to always be paying attention and the awareness, then leave them open. The door, does your classroom door have locks on them?
No.
Well, see, then again, I would look toward that on the college level. I would look toward having a little security measure with these different devices that I had just mentioned. Because, again, these door jammers, they're selling all kinds of different ones now. So if something does happen, the blinds go down, the lights go out, the door jammer goes at the bottom. And that'll hopefully provide some security. Now, if it's not something that's direct, that's coming right toward you, you know what's going to happen. People are going to look to evacuate. Now, I see the caution that if you're looking to evacuate and there's an active shooter situation, if you leave that room, you may not know which direction to go in. So it might be better to just hunker down and just wait until law enforcement ends up getting there. But again, this is what people have to do, and they have to make some of these decisions for themselves, at the particular time.
Well, I like
time.
The doorstop idea, and that's portable. I can just bring my own.
That's exactly right. And let me just tell you, They sell a lot of different versions of that right now. The one that I was talking about a moment ago was called a door jammer. It looks like an upside down V. And you put one, that little, the little bottom of it goes right to underneath the door. And then the other side of the V, there's a little turn knob on there that actually, as you twist that down, it locks down to the floor and they can't open it up. It's called a door jammer. They're very good. You know, I would seriously, you know, consider that style as well. But you also mentioned about restaurants when you're out in the general public. You said that you've already been, you know, that you've always been taught those kind of security measures, and I think that's good. Unfortunately, for a lot of people out there, they're not aware of these things. So having a listener that that has been with me, that's pretty good. And I think that the times are changing that we need to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Well, you brought up a good point about checking out the premises and just having a plan in place wherever you are.
That's exactly right.
So if something happens, you know where the exits are and this kind of thing.
You know where the exits are. And I also try to also tell people about barriers. When you're out there in the general public and you go to that mall that you visit all the time, even if it's one you don't visit all the time, know where the barriers are, because if something happens, you'll instinctively move towards those, and hopefully those will save your life or the life of your family and friends. So, but listen, I do appreciate your call. Oh, you had another question? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just another question. Do you know what the rules are generally for going down stairways? Are the doors usually locked behind you when you enter a stairwell? Or because sometimes some are locked and some are not.
Well, let me just tell you, I think that during the day, first of all, I've seen both, to answer your question. All right. Sometimes when you go through, especially in the hotels, sometimes with some of the hotels, you go through that door, you can't get back in. You got to go around and there's all this other nonsense. Now, that's something that I would think that the local fire marshals may have an issue about on stairwells. Do the doors lock behind people? I would think that you can't have those doors that are locked once they're, you know, because if you have customers and people there, that might be different at a hotel versus like a school or something like that. So I can't 100% say either way, but I've seen it both ways. I've seen it both ways. And if people are trying to get out, quite frankly, they're heading down. Now, if somebody's chasing you, you know, you're hoping like hell that that door is going to lock behind you or whatever the case may be. But that may not always be the case. So I'll tell you a little tip. You know, I tell women to carry some like baby oil, a small bottle of baby oil with them. Now, you may say, huh, what? What's that all about? Well, you're talking about stairways. So let's say that you're at your office and it's late in the day and you're leaving. And for some reason, the elevator's not working. There's no elevator. And now all of a sudden, you think somebody is following you, and you go to the stairwell, and you start heading down the stairs, and you think they may follow you. Hey, you take out that baby oil, squirt some of that on those stairs behind you. Trust me, if that person is running to try to catch up with you, they hit that baby oil, you're not going to have to worry about
that. That's a good idea.
They're going to slip and fall, and that's going to give you some extra time. So that's just a little thing to think about, you know, as well. So. At any rate, do you have any other questions or comments you'd like to make?
Not at this time. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in, Jenny. Have a good day.
Sure.
All right. Bye. Okay. You know, that was good. You know, it's always good to have comments and questions like that that come up, and hopefully some of the other listeners would like to, capitalize on some of those tips and comments as well. Okay, so look, getting back to it, if you're outside and encounter the active shooter, I want to say try to remain calm, move away from the active shooter with the gunshots, etc., and always look for appropriate locations for cover. Okay, we're getting another call in, so let me take this call. Hi, you're live on the air with Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment to share?
Okay, well, getting back to it, if you're outside and encounter the active shooter, I want to say try to remain calm, move away from the active shooter with the gunshots, et cetera, and always look for appropriate locations for cover. Okay, we're getting another call.
Hello. You're live in the air with Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment to share?
Yes, I do. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening.
I have a question. It's been answered slightly on my job, but I want to hear what you have to say. I do cover the front desk on my job. I give the girl up there her two 15-minute breaks, and I give her an hour break. those of us who covers the front desk has had training. We know where to push the silent button for the police if there's a problem. There's two doors. There's an entrance door where people come in. The second door is locked. We have to push a button to let them in. So we have a lot of vendors, a lot of people that's always in and out. Some, you know, some are new, coming to see somebody to kind of work a business. My question is, what I've asked a couple times on my job is, if there's an active shooter, they're not, if they start shooting through the door, we were told you push the button and then you run. But if the shooter gets in, if we push the button and we don't know that it's an active shooter, we could think it's a vendor, maybe he's got painter's clothes on or something. Once he gets in, he's going to start shooting. And my question has always been, what do I do? Because I'm sitting right out there. I'm not even going to have a chance to get up and run. So what do I do to protect myself from getting shot?
Okay, well, first of all, let's back up a second. The doors that you're talking about, are those solid doors, no windows, so you can't see who you're letting in?
Oh, no, they're glass doors. You can see who's coming in. And they can open up the first set of doors, and then there's like a vestibule area, and then you have to push a button for them to get in the other door to come inside the lobby.
Oh, okay. So you can visually see the person, but you may not know that they're an active shooter until after you let them in the second door.
Right.
Okay. Let me tell you something. There are some, look, there are some nifty little things that people can have on their desk, believe it or not. Let me just tell you one, a can of soda. Now, you may look at that and say, huh, what, can of soda? Let me tell you something. Pick up a can of soda sometime and see how heavy that thing is. You got a can of soda there. I'm just telling you, you know where I'm going with that one, right? You can pick up that can of soda and fling it at them. I'm just telling you. There are certain things, because sometimes people want to get into this thing. Should I get a gun? Should I do this? I do that? Let me just tell you something else. Hairspray? Also, bug repellent. I'm just telling you, people don't think about those things. But if you just keep a little can of Raid under that desk and somebody tries to act ugly with you. Now, see, if you get mace, you could get in trouble because sometimes some of those, it's a felony. But, hey, you got a can of bug spray in there and somebody starts acting unruly. Hey, you could turn around and spray that stuff at them, spray them in the eyes, whatever you can. And that may give you enough time to get the heck out of there, quite frankly. So start thinking about on your desk what can be used to pick up to throw, as an example. Now, in terms of them coming through the door, the way that you're set up in the reception area, is your seat close to another door that you can exit through, or your only way out is through the same door that they came in?
No, there's several ways. There's a hallway. There's two, actually three different hallways. One is too far away. There's a couple of hallways I would be able to run down. But my thing is, which nobody really can clearly answer, when an active shooter comes in, they're going to start shooting to get people out their way so that they can start running through the building and just shoot up whoever they want. It could be a disgruntled employee that was fired and know their way around. So they would probably want to get rid of the person at the front desk. I mean, I'm only up there like in the morning to give her 15 minutes break in the evening, and her lunchtime, I'm up there a whole hour. So I would want to have these things that you mentioned at it would be actually her desk, which is a good idea. But I can run, and I can run fast if I have to. But if I see them coming in that way, my problem is what they're already in, and then they pull out a gun. I feel like I'm stuck.
Well,
if
listen,
they pull out a gun and start shooting.
Let me just tell you something. Honestly, here's what it is. Mm-hmm. If you are a single individual right there, okay, you might pose less of a threat to them. You follow what I'm saying? Because what they're trying to do is get to the masses. They're trying to get to the people in the back, okay? Now, that's not to say that he won't try to do something to you to silence you, all right? But he knows that the moment that gun goes off with you, that's going to put an alarm out to everybody else. So he may, you know, lie about the reason why he's there so that he gets past you and gets inside. So do you question people when they come in at all?
Yes, we ask them who they're here to see because they have to sign a guest book, and we have to give them either a visitor pass or a contractor's pass if they're a contractor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you'll know whether or not, I mean, they could lie about that. So, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Once they're in, they're in. But the second door that they have, the next door that they have to go in, do you release a button to let that door open? Or at that point, once they're in that second door, they're inside. End of story. Is that what it is?
Yes. Once they come to that second door and we push the button and let them in, they are inside.
Mm. Yeah. You know, when you know, when I talk about these things, and even when we do the training, we tell everybody there's no 100%. You know, there are certain situations that are going to happen that you don't have as much protection for. Your situation is you don't know who that is that's coming through the door. They could be a vendor. You don't know. It's a stranger to you. Now, former employee, as you mentioned, that was a disgruntled employee. First of all, if he's a former employee, you are probably not going to let him in anyway because you know that he's been fired. Okay, so you're already going to be on guard. The one that you have to be careful about is that vendor or somebody that appears to be a vendor. And that's why I say certain safety tips that are going to be on your that you have on your desk, such as that can of soda that I just told you about. There's other things that you could probably look toward. You know, hey, get yourself a couple of those nice little paperweights that look all pretty, but they got a lot of weight to them. I'm just telling you, people don't realize any of that kind of stuff. You can throw that stuff at somebody. Letter openers, you know, start being creative in terms of what's sitting right there in front of you. A lot of people don't think about those things.
I never thought about any of those things.
Yeah, heavy trash can, that'll do the job too. I mean, there's a lot that people can really do. You just have to start thinking about what you would do in the event of. And that's what's important. Okay?
Right. Oh, sure. Thank you very much. You made a lot of sense, and you gave me a lot of stuff to think about.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
All right,
have
bye.
A good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So once again, these are the things that people are concerned about. I mean, it's out there. There's no doubt about it. Getting back to what I was telling you, you know, what would you expect when you're on the outside? Look, you're always going to look for an appropriate location for cover and protection. So, I mean, that's just common sense. Behind cars, behind barriers, whatever it may take. Now, the other thing is that when the police arrive, you know, what can you expect from the police officers? Look, they're going to engage the person. That's what they should be doing. And when they do that, they are going to do the best they can based upon the information that they can. I'm trying to think, am I getting another call here? Hold on a second. Let me see if there's another call coming in. Hi, you're live on the air with Jim Potts, LA Talk Radio. Do you have a question or a comment to share?
Yes, I have a question about the active shooter situation.
Right.
You talked about basically what happens in an office. I'm not in an office. My situation is I am a cashier in a store, and the store closes at midnight, and I'm there to midnight, sometimes, you know, past midnight. And my problem, my biggest problem is I don't keep my mouth shut. And in situation, if somebody comes in and want to rob the store or just come in with some kind of nonsense with gun and whatnot, I know my mouth is going to go off, and that's not going to be good. But what would your advice be for a store situation?
You know what? Let's talk about that for a moment. I'm glad that you called it. Look, first of all, let's back up for a second. So you're a cashier at a store, and you get off at midnight?
Yes, the store closes at midnight.
Okay, so let's look at that real quick. First of all, are you the only one that's there that late?
No, usually I'm with another cashier. Usually two of us. Most times it's just me and the cashier because I work self-checkout, and then the cashier is on the register. And we have guys that work in the back, but they're way in the back, and they may not hear too much up front unless we scream. But if somebody's going to come in to rob or something, we're not going to be able to scream.
Right. And let me ask you a question. Because of the fact, I don't know how big this facility is that you work at, but I know in my experience, a lot of the businesses, when it comes to late night closings, that they actually have these buttons. So for the door, so for the person to come in, so you can actually see the person, push the button. Is this like a retail store?
Yes, it is. And I know that button you're talking about, but we can't close the doors. The store closes at midnight, and the craziest thing is the doors stay open till midnight. A lot of times when we leave after midnight, the doors don't get closed until when we leave and we get somebody to close the door behind us. So even though the store is closed at midnight, somebody could still come in, and most people know that.
Right, right. Let me just tell you, that's not a very secure work environment. There's no doubt about it. If you got two ladies that are working up there at 12 o'clock at night with a retail and the guys away in the back, I would agree with you that that's going to be problematic. Look, obviously customers are going to come in there. They know the store closes at 12 o'clock. Is the parking lot outside, is it well lit and you can see who's coming in?
No, because the glass, when you look outside, unless you're very close up to the glass windows, you can see. Otherwise, you're going to see your own reflection.
So you're not going to know.
I mean, it's not like terror, but you're going to see yourself.
Okay, so you're not going to know anything until the person basically walks through the door to come in to buy some merchandise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So to me, like I said, that's problematic. I don't think that business owner is doing you any service by the way that's set up. That's a tough situation, in all honesty. Hey, look, but let me just tell you something else. You're talking about robberies, not an active shooter. Look, active shooters, you should understand, like targets in terms of a group of people. One or two people, your situation is probably not going to be an active shooter situation, okay? What your situation is going to be is a thief, a robber, who's going to want to come in and want money. All right. That's a lot different. So to me, hey, that's not your money. So if somebody comes in there and they've got a gun, you cooperate. That's the best thing to do. You cooperate with them. They ask you for the money. You give them the money. You don't, you know, you don't try to do anything at that point. And whatever you're going to do, you talked about you can't keep your mouth shut. But let me just tell you something. In that circumstance, keep your mouth shut. Okay, whatever they tell you to do, just do it. They give you, you know, they want the money out of the register, give them the money out of the register. They're not necessarily there to harm you. Remember that. They're there to get money. So your situation is going to be a little bit different than an active shooter. Active shooters, I'll say again, they like crowds of people. One or two people working together, unless it's something personal, they're not there for you. And that makes a big difference also. It doesn't make you feel any better, but you're not in a secure environment, in my opinion. And you need to be talking to the owner of the store, the boss, whoever it is. And well, let me ask you, have you ever talked to them about this?
Yeah, and we have managers. The managers, whoever's going to stay late in the store, they leave at 11. Sometimes they'll be there later if there's something going on and there's extra work they need to do, but most times the manager will leave at 11, and we're there, of course, till midnight. And they know that, you know, we're scared. A lot of people stop working midnight to midnight because of that, and it's like, well, there's nothing they're going to do about it. You can't work to midnight, that's it, we'll find someone else. That's basically the situation.
Well, in my opinion, you're working for a poor employer, but I will ask you this. How long have you worked there?
5 years.
And in 5 years, have you ever had a robbery when you were working the cashier?
No, but we've had situations where people try to steal and we, you know, say something to them or try to prevent them. We've had issues where some of them have gotten very irate.
Hey, let me just tell you something. You're doing your job when you do that. But listen, in my opinion, if you've talked to management about the what state are you in California?
No, I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, you're in Virginia. Okay. Let me just tell you something. You've talked to management about this. Management's not doing anything. Look, people get irate when you start accusing them of stealing. Remember something. Yeah, you got a job to do, but your job is not security in terms of being a policewoman. If you see something, the person's getting something, hey, look, you can make your comment to them, hey, put that back or whatever. But what are you going to do, jump over the counter, wrestle them to the ground behind a Snickers bar? The answer is no. You know, just you're doing your job, keep an eye on them. And especially if they're getting irate, just drop the subject and let them go and tell them you'll dial 911. Do you have a phone there, at least, by the cashier?
Well, yeah. We have phones at the registers, but I keep my cell phone, you know, with me. And we were told that if anything like that happens, we can't get a customer out of the store, to just let them know that we're going to call 911 and call 911.
And that's exactly right. That's about all you can do. Well, look, you know, I really wish I could have given you some better advice, but I think you are in a tough situation, is the bottom line. All right. I would press the issue. I would press the issue with management. You know, hey, keep yourself a little baseball bat back there if you have to. I'm just telling you, I've seen on the news where some of these women have fought back, baseball bats and everything else. So if you got to keep a little bat back there, whatever you got to do, you know, you might want to consider doing something to be able to protect yourself, especially since management has not cooperated with you in terms of making your environment more secure. All right.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, we had some interesting calls today. I just about got through all of my tips. But right now, you've been listening to Jim Potts at LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. But let me remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. Be sure to join me for next week. Next week, we will be talking about MS-13. I want to get to the law enforcement statistics that we talked about, as well as law enforcement. Home invasion was the other one I wanted to talk to you about next week. All right. Thank you very much for listening. As always, it's a pleasure.